وصلنا عند the title that mentions the book of Allah سبحانه وتعالى تعالوا إلا كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم, where we come to a common word that is between us and you. And as we proceeded yesterday with our talks based on the methodology of the Salaf and the evidence for that and the characteristics of the Dawah Salafiyah as we explained yesterday in some detail, and concluding with basic issues dealing with the rule and the ruler, specifically among Muslims under the rule of both Muslims and non-believers, we have come together that the word is very common and it's no more or less based on Tawheed and adherence to the strict Salafi understanding of the Quran and Sunnah as it was interpreted by the best of generations. Today's conference will be a little bit different in its protocol as from yesterday, where we have brought the brothers and sisters together for all the lectures, for really the topics at hand are so important. There's a need by the Shuyukh, as they mentioned, that they all join together to understand these very important topics. It will be in the form of a workshop where some words will be spoken by the Shuyukh, questions and answers will be answered and rebutted, and all three Shuyukh will have opportunity in a short, disciplined way to understand the authentic way of the title of today's talk. The title of our workshops we're going to have presently is on the methodology of Divit methodologies that are present today among the Ummah and the importance of educating ourselves on being strong and knowledgeable in our interaction with them, giving them dawah, correcting them, and keeping away from them. So again, the title of is it basically the way of the believers among the followers who are upon the Sunnah and those who are in deviance and dalala and misguidance, and the attitudes Muslims should have towards that methodology on how to deal with the different ideologies that are out there today that are ignorant, deviant, and away from the path of the true light of the Quran and Sunnah. And they will expound upon that in a very detailed way and in a very informal way so that everybody will have maybe a chance to answer to questions that have been given, inshallah, on this issue. So inshallah, we'll start with Brother Ali Al-Halabi, and we'll start our lecture as we go forth, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khairan.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا, من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له, وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, ففي الصحيحين من حديث حذيفة بن اليمان رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسألونه عن الخير, وكنت أسأله عن الشر مخافة أن يدركني. هذا الحديث أصل مهم من أصول الفهم ومن أصول المعرفة, ذلكم أنه يبين أن الواجب على المسلم معرفة الحق ومعرفة الباطل, الوقوف على الهدى والوقوف على الضلال, فإن المسلم إذا لم يعرف الضلال بعد معرفة الهدى فقد يقع فيه ولا يتنبه إليه, وكذلك الباطل وكذلك الغلط والخلل. ومنها هنا قال من قال من أهل العلم: عرفت الحق لا للحق, عرفت الشر لا للشر لكن لتوقيه, ومن لا يعرف الخير من الشر يقع فيه. وقد قيل قديما: الضد يظهر حسنه الضد, وبضدها تتميز الأشياء. ومنها هنا كان لابد من معرفة المناهج أو حقائق المناهج المخالفة لمنهج السلف ولو ضمن القواعد الكلية والأصول العامة, بعد أن عرفنا قواعد الحق ومعالم منهج السلف وخصائص الدعوة النبوية والأصول الكلية التي يسير عليها الدعاة الصادقون إلى الله تبارك وتعالى. ومعنى أصحاب الفضيلة المشايخ سددهم الله لنتذاكر معلمين ونعلم متذاكرين أصول المناهج الدعوية المعاصرة، ملقين الضوء على ما فيها من مخالفات وعلى ما فيها من أغلاط أثرت في سير الدعوة إلى الله وكان لها أثر سلبي في تركيبة العقل المسلم المعاصر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Sheikh Ali Al-Halabi, Hafizahullah, began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salah upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by reciting to us khutbat al-haja that I'm sure we are all well aware of. He then said, Amma ba'd, it is narrated in both Bukhari and Muslim in the hadith that is muttafaqun alayh, from the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, that he says the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask him about the things of good, how they could get into doing better good deeds, what are the things that they should do. Yet I used to ask him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the things that could lead to evil so that I will not fall into them. The Sheikh pauses in the narration of the hadith to say this is an important principle from the principles of Islam and the principles of da'wah, meaning a person should try to have a firm understanding, not just of what is good, but also of what is evil. Learning the truth, as well as learning what is being propagated in place of truth, which is in fact falsehood. Learning the huda, seeking the guidance, and also learning what is in opposition to the guidance, so that a person will not fall into its evil actions and attributes. And it has been said before in a verse of poetry that I tried to translate as best as possible. The person said, I did not seek out evil or learn about evil so that I will commit it. I learned it so that I can escape it. He learned about evil so that he will not fall into the evil. And something is known by its opposition. So therefore, if you know good, it means its opposite is evil. And if you know evil, you know its opposite is good. Therefore, our topic, inshallah, today that will be covered, shall revolve around contemporary da'wah methodologies that are being propagated, other than the da'wah of a salaf as-salih. The methodologies that may be in opposition to the manhaj of the Prophet ﷺ and his sahaba, ridwanullahi alayhim, we will look at their principles generally, and see some of the defects and misconceptions that may be propagated in place of the true manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have in our presence, as the Sheikh continued, honored mashayikh, honored teachers who will be joining us in this symposium, and we will learn from their words some of these methodologies, what their principles, what are the principles that these methodologies are built on, and what are the drawbacks, misconceptions, mistakes, errors that are found in these methodologies so that we know what evil there is so that we do not fall into it, inshallah.
نبدأ بفضيلة الشيخ أبي حاتم سامة القصي بارك الله فيه حول بعض هذه المناهج الدعوية المعاصرة التي كان لها دور كبير. نعم دور كبير، لكن في الإساءة لصورة الإسلام والإساءة لحقيقة الإسلام، بل تعدى الأمر إلى أن وصلت هذه الإساءة إلى المسلمين فوقع في كثير من البلاد ألوان من الإفساد نحو هؤلاء الإخوة المسلمين، وهو المنهج التكفيري. فالمنهج التكفيري منهج أقام طريقته على مبدأين، أحدهما موصول بالآخر، وإن كان في بعض الأحيان ينفصلان لكنهما في الغالب مرتبطان، وهما المنهج التكفيري والمنهج الثوري أو العسكري. فحبذا لو تفضل فضيلة الشيخ بإلقاء بعض من الأضواء حول هذا المنهج وذكر شيء من أفكاره العملية وآثاره السلبية، فليتفضل مشكورا.
The chef introduced our first speaker by saying we will now listen to Al-Sheikh Abi Hatim Usama Al-Qusi Hafidhahullah, who will discuss with us one of the contemporary da'wah methodologies that has been propagated. It is a da'wah methodology that played a large role in drawing away and tarnishing some of the great splendor of Al-Islam. It is the manhaj of al-takfir, the people who call to declaring other Muslims disbelievers on account of sins or things of the sort. And they establish their manhaj on two main principles that we will now become well acquainted with: takfir, or claiming people are disbelievers, and of trying to establish military coups and revolutions and things of the sort. So now the Sheikh Abi Hatim will continue in this discussion and advise us of some of the ill effects of this manhaj and how to find corrections to it. فليتفضل.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، ففي الحقيقة إن انتشار هذا المنهج التكفيري في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها قد أثر تأثيرا سلبيا على الدعوة السلفية المباركة، ولا شك أن كلامنا عن المناهج المعاصرة، ولكن لابد أن نربطها بأصولها القديمة. فهذا المنهج التكفيري هو امتداد لفرقة الخوارج، هذا المنهج التكفيري الذي يتمثل في تكفير المسلمين حكاما ومحكومين، وأحيانا يقتصرون على تكفير الحكام فقط. ومن هنا نشأت فكرة الخروج أيضا على هؤلاء الحكام. فهذا المنهج التكفيري المعاصر هو امتداد للفرقة المعروفة قديما بالخوارج، وهذه البدعة هي أول بدعة ظهرت في الإسلام. بدعة الخوارج وفرقة الخوارج أول بدعة ظهرت في دين الله عز وجل، وأول فرقة خرجت على المسلمين الخوارج. والشاهد أن الخوارج القدامى هم السبب في وجود هذا المنهج في الأرض، والذي استشرى في هذه الأيام وفي هذه الأوقات التي نعيشها كان من أهم أسباب إحياء هذا المنهج الخارجي كتب رجل اشتهر وانتشرت كتبه، وهو سيد قطب. فسيد قطب يعتبر هو وكذلك بعض المعاصرين كأبي الأعلى المودودي، فسيد قطب في بلاد العرب وأبو الأعلى في بلاد العجم كانوا سببا في انتشار الأفكار التكفيرية وتجرئة الشباب على مسائل التكفير. والتكفير لا ينبغي أن يكون هكذا لكل من هب ودب. وفي الحقيقة هؤلاء أصيبوا بداء أنا أعتبره داء عظيما، وهو داء الانشغال بالغير عن النفس. فالخوارج القدامى جعلوا من أنفسهم رقباء وحكاما على عباد الله، حتى إن رأسهم حكم حتى على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، اتهمه في نيته والآخر الذي كان كذلك مثله أو كان مثله اتهمه في عمله. فأحدهما قال: تلك قسمة ما أريد بها وجه الله تعالى. قسم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قسمة فقال: تلك قسمة ما أريد بها وجه الله تعالى. اتهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في نيته. والآخر اتهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في عمله فقال: أعدل يا محمد. يأمر نبي العدل بالعدل. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ومن يعدل إذا لم أعدل؟ والشاهد أن هذا الفكر التكفيري يقوم على هذا الداء، الانشغال بالغير عن النفس. فتجد هؤلاء يطالبون الناس بتحكيم الشريعة في أنفسهم وهم لم يحكموا الشريعة في أنفسهم، يطالبون الناس بالعدل في غيرهم وهم لم يعدلوا في غيرهم، وهكذا. فالشاهد أن هؤلاء لهم نصيب كبير من قول الله تعالى: أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم، ولهم نصيب كبير من قول الله تعالى: لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون. وهذا الداء استشرى حقيقة في كل أنحاء المعمورة، فترى هذا الفكر التكفيري أو المنهج التكفيري أينما حللت وأينما ارتحلت عقبة في طريق قبول الناس للحق. كلما دعونا إلى المنهج السلفي وجدنا هؤلاء يصدون الناس عن الحضور لأصحاب المنهج السلفي، يصدون الناس عن الاستفادة من علماء هذا المنهج المبارك، يصفون العلماء بأنهم كفار أو بأنهم عملاء أو بأنهم، يعني الشاهد أنهم عقبة في طريق الخير، أنهم عقبة في طريق الخير. فهذا المنهج يقوم على مبدأ الانشغال بالحكم على الناس. وأخطأوا في فهم الآيات والأحاديث لأنهم لم يقيدوا الكتاب والسنة بفهم السلف الصالح، فأصبحوا يفهمون النصوص على وفق أفهامهم الأعجمية التي لا تمت إلى العربية بصلة. أصبحوا لا يعتبرون فهم سلفنا الصالح ولا طريق علماء المسلمين الذين هم ورثة نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالشاهد أن هؤلاء الناس لا يعتبرون العلماء، لا يقيدون أفهامهم للكتاب والسنة بفهم السلف الصالح، وبالتالي حصلت عندهم جرأة، وحصل عندهم شيء من التعالم، وحصل عندهم شيء من الغرور، وأصبحوا لا يستمعون لنصيحة أحد من الناس لأنهم استقلوا بأفهامهم، وصاروا يصدرون الأحكام من تلقاء أنفسهم، يعتمدون على عقولهم، وهم ليسوا أهلا لا للفهم ولا للاستنباط ولا لإصدار الأحكام العامة، فضلا عن حكم التكفير الذي هو حق محض لله سبحانه وتعالى. ونبينا الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم حذر من هذا المنهج فقال: إذا قال أحدكم لأخيه يا كافر فقد باء بها أحدهما. نهى أن يكفر المسلم أخاه المسلم. والتكفير وبخاصة للأشخاص لا ينبغي أن يكون إلا لأهل العلم الموثوق بهم الأئمة الكبار، كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: وإذا جاءهم أمر من الأمن أو الخوف أذاعوا به ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم لعلمه الذين يستنبطونه منهم. فالحذر الحذر أيها الإخوة والأخوات، الحذر الحذر من هذا المنهج الذي يعد من أكبر المعوقات للإصلاح في زماننا هذا، يعد من أكبر المعوقات التي تصد الناس عن سبيل الله. أسأل الله أن يقينا شر الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن.
الشيخ أسامة القوسي praise الله سبحانه وتعالى and sent the الصلاة upon محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم and said: وبعد, it is clear to anyone that knows that the manhaj of those who call to takfir has dealt great blows to the true manhaj of the Salafi da'wah. It led many people away from the true path because of the emotional, inspirational words that were said that were not built on religious foundations, but more of emotional ties and things of the sort. Although we are talking about contemporary issues and a contemporary manhaj, it has its roots in the manhaj of the Khawarij. the manhaj of the takfir, its root is in the manhaj of the khawarij. They are those who at times claimed that rulers and subjects were disbelievers. At other times, they would manifest themselves in deeming rulers as disbelievers while subjects were not disbelievers. So they manifested themselves in many different forms. And the word khawarij comes from the root to go out against something. And this is the example and this is the path that the people of takfir follow. Therefore the people of takfir are the people of khawarij. It's important to note that the khawarij, that their path was the first bid'ah instituted in the religion of al-Islam. It is the first bid'ah that entered into the religion of al-Islam. It is the way of the khawarij. Second, it's also important to note that they are the first firqa, the first group to become known outside the people of Ahl-Sunnah. They became the first organized group that opposed the people of the true path. In our contemporary times, we find that this call to declaring people disbelievers and rulers disbelievers, whether subjects or rulers, it became rejuvenated through the books of primarily two people. In the Arabic language, in the writings of Sayyid Qutb. In the non-Arabic language, it was through the writings of Al-Mawdudi. These two people, their books began to inspire and bring forth views to the regular masses, those who are unlettered and do not have religious knowledge, to give them the courage to declare people disbelievers on account of their own whims, desires, or emotions. It rejuvenated this tension and this system of khawarij. And this can be seen from the actions at the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the khawarij, as we see in our contemporary days today, they judge a person's intention as well as deeds. They judge a person's intention. What they do not really see, what is in his heart, they will judge it. And they will judge a person's outward actions also. We see that one of the Khawarij at the time of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, at the Battle of Hunayn, one of them came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he judged the Prophet's intention, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by saying when the Prophet was distributing the spoils of war that they had collected after the battle, one of these people, he came and he said to the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what you have done, you have not intended the pleasure of Allah in distributing these war spoils. And he continued, be just in your distribution. Being just is an action. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most just of all mankind. And the man also accused his intention by saying, you did not intend to please Allah. This is something that will not please Allah in the way you have distributed the war spoils. So therefore we see that they judge intentions as well as actions. And this is something, when you look at them, you will see that they do not put the same critical analysis and the same stringent analysis to their own selves and their own actions. You will see them, for example, they will tell people, follow the Sharia, do this, establish the laws. Yet in their own actions, they will mistake and they will fall into errors that they themselves have control over. Nothing that is government controlled. Their own actions, they will fall into sin. Also in being just to other people and not issuing verdicts that will harm people without being sure of what is being said. All of these are examples of the people of takfir and of khawarij. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran answers them and those who are like them by saying, why do you say or do something, and why do you ask people to say or do something that you yourselves do not do? It is a great sin in the sight of Allah that you say or do something, ask people to do something that you yourselves do not do. It is important also to note that the path of the takfir became a major block and a point that prohibited many people who were seeking Allah and seeking the manhaj of His Messenger Muhammad ﷺ from coming to Allah by influencing them with rhetoric and emotion instead of influencing them with religious studies and the word of Allah and his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They would claim many claims, pushing people away from the scholars of Islam by calling them puppets of the regime, calling them things that are in contrary to what the truth is. And therefore, they used their own intellect and their own experiences, what they themselves thought they knew, as being the example or how to explain the religious rulings in the Qur'an and the Sunnah, instead of looking to what the Sahaba and the Tabi'een intended and were taught by the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore they would take their political situation or the things that they find themselves in at a specific period in time and just extract any religious ruling out of their particular situation from the words of Allah or the text of the Sunnah. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns them not to be from those who, whenever they hear something, they go out and spread it amongst the people. But if they were to hold on and return it to the scholars and ask their opinions, they would find the true guidance. So therefore we must understand that we should not be forward to the words of Allah and His Prophet. We should bring it to the scholars, ask their opinions, see what is being said, take from them. Because this is how we will gain the true knowledge and know what is truly intended. And this is where the Khawarij and the people of Takfir strayed. They left the path of the scholars and the callers to Al-Islam. Also the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he warns by saying, the one who calls another Muslim kafir, one of the two has disbelieved. One of the two has disbelieved. If someone says you are kafir and you are not, that means he has entered into a state of disbelieving in Allah. So therefore it is something that is very important. Only the scholars are the ones who are to discuss such matters. They are the ones who are to take a critical analysis, look, weigh out all of the options in the situation, and then they, the scholars, the imams of the scholars, are the ones who issue such verdicts. It's not for the layman or the public to declare and call to these things. So therefore the Shaykh says, be aware of this methodology and its people. Stick to the Sunnah, stick to the manhaj of the Salaf, for this is the truth and this is the way you will gain the most success in meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
جزا الله خيرا شيخ أسامة على ما تفضل. والكلام لفضيلة الشيخ سليم الآن نريد منه ذكرى نماذج من طرائق هذا المنهج التكفيري ودعاته فيما هم يقومون به مما يؤثر كما قلنا ابتداء على الأمة رجالا ودعوة ومنهجا في تلكم الآثار السيئة السلبية. فليتفضل.
We continue our second part of our workshop as we all will see the issue, comment on different aspects of the same issue, on current innovative methodologies in relationship to the first subject as was started by Sheikh Osama Kusi on takfir and the groups that are related to that ideology and minhaj of making disbelief and going against and overthrowing rulers who have been claimed with that disbelief. Our next speaker will be Abu Osama Salim Halali, Hafidullah, and he will give some more greater clarification on this issue so we can better understand and deal with this da'wah to avoid it, number one, and to also how to approach those in better understanding the correct da'wah of the Salafi.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. فإن المنهج التكفيري الذي أشير إليه وأشير إلى أصله الذي خرج منه وهو فكر الخوارج قد بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أثره وضرره وخطره على المسلمين حيث ينشغل هذا الفكر بتكفير المسلمين وإلحاق الضرر بهم وترك أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى، كما هو مشاهد في التاريخ ومشاهد في واقع الناس. فقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الخوارج: يقتلون أهل الإسلام ويدعون أهل الأوثان، أي أن هؤلاء الانعكاس وانقلاب الفهم الصحيح في نفوسهم، بدلا أن يوجهوا سيوفهم وطاقاتهم في قتال أعداء الله وجهوها لسفك دماء المسلمين. يقتلون أهل الإسلام ويدعون أهل الأوثان، ولذلك اتخذ هؤلاء أنماط متعددة من إيذاء المسلمين وإلحاق الضرر بهم تحت مسميات كثيرة. فبعضهم يرى أو يمارس الخروج على المسلمين حكاما ومحكومين، وذلك بتقتيلهم أو سلب أموالهم أو السطو على ممتلكاتهم، بدعوى أن هؤلاء الحكام كفار لأنهم لا يحكمون بما أنزل الله، وهؤلاء المحكومين كفار لأنهم رضوا بالحكم بغير ما أنزل الله. فتراهم يستبيحون دماءهم ويستبيحون أموالهم، وبعض الجماعات المتشددة منهم كثيرا تستبيح فروج نسائهم بدعوى أنهن سبايا. والذي عليه إجماع أهل العلم من أهل السنة والجماعة أن الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله في حد ذاته لا يعد كفرا مخرجا من الملة، أي أن هذا الذنب لا يعد كفرا مخرجا من الملة، وإنما هو بحسب حال الحاكم، أي أنه يخضع للتفصيل الذي يعرف في كتب العقائد عند أهل السنة والجماعة بحسب حال الحاكم. قد يكفر ويخرج من الملة، وقد لا يكفر ولا يخرج من الملة. وأما المحكوم كذلك فلا يقال أنه رضي بالحكم بغير ما أنزل الله رضا قلبيا بحيث أنه يلحق بالكفار. ولذلك فدم المسلم ومال المسلم وعرض المسلم على المسلم حرام، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المسلم على المسلم حرام، دمه وماله وعرضه. وسلف الأمة اتفقوا على أنه لا يجوز الخروج على أئمة الجور، على أئمة الجور الظالمين، وإن أكل مالك وجلد ظهرك، كما في رواية في سنن ابن ماجه في حديث حذيفة رضي الله عنه قال: تسمع وتطيع الأمير وإن جلد ظهرك وأكل مالك. وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للأنصار: إنكم سترون أثرة من بعدي فاصبروا حتى تلقوني على الحوض. فإذا وكل الناس للسيف أو لجأ الناس إلى السيف كما قال الحسن البصري وكلوا إليه، فلا يجوز الخروج على أئمة الجور والحكام الظالمين. ومنهم من لجأ إلى وسيلة هي تشبه بالكفار من اليهود والنصارى والغربيين وغيرهم، وذلك بعمل الانقلابات العسكرية، بعمل الانقلابات العسكرية ضمن مؤامرات واغتيالات وغيرها مما يشهده كثير من بلاد المشرق الإسلامي. وبعضهم يلبس هذا الخروج ويلبس هذا الانقلابات بدعوى الجهاد ومحاربة أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى. ومعلوم يا أخوتي أن الجهاد في دين الله ضروة سنام الإسلام كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، رأس الأمر الإسلام وعموده الصلاة وذروة سنامه الجهاد في سبيل الله. ففي هذا القول النبوي بيان لأولئك المستعجلين أنهم يريدون ذروة الأمر وهم يفقدون رأس الأمر. ولا حياة للأمر إلا برأسه، أي بالتوحيد. رأس الأمر الإسلام أي التوحيد. فلا يمكن أن يصبر الناس على الجهاد والاستشهاد ومقارعة أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى وهم على عقيدة خربة وعلى منهج منحرف وعلى طريقة غير طريق محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وحسبكم هذا الحديث النووي الذي يقول فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مبينا أسباب ذل المسلمين وسبب رفع الذل عنهم: إذا تبايعتم بالعينة وأخذتم أذناب البقر ورضيتم بالزرع وتركتم الجهاد سلط الله عليكم ذلا لا ينزعه عنكم حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم. فرفع الذل لا يكون بالرجوع إلى الجهاد أو ترك العينة أو ترك أذناب البقر وغيرها، وإنما إذا كانت هذه الحال ووصلنا إلى هذا المعال فلا بد من عملية جذرية بأن يعود الناس إلى دينهم الذي كان عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه. تأملوا قوله: حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم.
الحمد لله. Our esteemed Sheikh Salim Al-Halali, Hafidullah, wanted to elaborate on the issue of takfir, as been already commenced by our brother Osama Kusi, on the basic issues and description of his history, and to give a better elaboration on what the Khawarij stood for and how its elements resolve into its present days. And this is no more or less going back to the authentic Sunnah of the Salaf and relegating to that which has already been related from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is athar, that is what he left behind in terms of the ayat of Allah and his words and speech warning against this particular group and those groups similar to that. And verily history itself proves this. Verily the Khawarij, starting with them and living up to the present day groups that are based upon this ideology, history has proven true the words of Allah and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, verily, be careful among the blows among Islam that will cause killing and that will give you invitation towards fighting, infighting and crisis. So therefore, the Prophet ﷺ, beware those things that invite you to conflict and will cause bloodshed among you. And he already predicted this in his words. And one of the things that lead from this act of causing people to cause bloodshed come from the stem of causing people to be out of the religion of Islam, takfir. That is, calling somebody a kafir, individually as a group. But verily, this opens the door wide for things such as the taking of blood, that is killing, taking their wealth, and removing their honor and respect. Because that door, once it's open, it leads to these major, major calamities. And one of the major issues today, we find it prevalent among these Dawit groups and this attitude. They claim that anyone who rules by other than the rule of Allah, any leader, any government, any group that rules other than by the rule of Allah, they leave the millet of Islam. They are out of the religion of Islam. Now, subhanAllah, this is not a correct interpretation of the ahkam, of the judgments that could be made against a group. And verily, the correct understanding according to Salaf, and as was understood by the early Salaf, is that indeed it's an act of disbelief, but verily no person individually or a group can be condemned with disbelief until the individual situation of that person is analyzed and the judgment made on that alone, not based on just one single deed. And that deed is indeed ruling by the other Allah, that is not sufficient enough to make one unbeliever. And therefore those who commit these acts are sinners and committing acts of kufr, but are not unbelievers in religion living in Islam as the best understood understanding according to Salaf. So anyone individually must be analyzed according to the individual situation, and simple acts, major or minor, cannot be interpreted as enough to cause somebody to be out of the religion of Islam. In a narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, haramun, that is, haram is Arabic word meaning sacred, inviolable. Those things that are not to be breached are three for the Muslim. For the Muslim, there are three things that are inviolable, sacred. They are his blood, his wealth, and his honor. And these words of the Prophet ﷺ stand as a bulwark, that is, as a wall, as a protective fortress against calling anybody unbelief. Because really the Muslim is safeguarded in these areas. Once that nomenclature, that is the title of Muslim, is removed, then their verily their blood, their wealth, and their honor is now open. There's no more safety for this. So therefore, this is the words of the Prophet ﷺ to give us an understanding how important it is to safeguard ourselves against putting somebody out of the milk of Islam. And in the hadith of Hudhayfa bin Yamani, he said, really, you will see a great fitna in front of you, so keep away from this fight, this infighting, and be patient till that day that Allah will settle all affairs. Be patient into that day when Allah will settle all affairs. That is, until the crisis removes itself in this world, or in some cases, until the hereafter. And verily, he said, the head of Islam is based on Tawheed, and its armor is Jihad. That verily, the safeguarding of Tawheed is through the struggle of fighting, and the protection of Islam is not based on the protection of against kufr, the removal of kufr from the leadership, but more or less is to protect Tawheed in its activities. So therefore, Tawheed is the main issue that should be discussed, and in terms of the protections for that is based on all elements that lead to it, and that is only the way through the Quran and Sunnah to do that. Anything other than that is injustice. And verily, he mentioned the last narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said very clearly, when you take the hold of the tails of cows and be content with agriculture, pasture, and you abandon jihad, Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam zulla, Allah will come upon you zul, that is degradation, abomination, putting you in a position of humiliation. So the Muslim ummah will be put in this position when they follow these things. That is, taking hold of the tails of cows, he has meaning being content with livestock and wealth and agriculture and leaving jihad, that is, giving up and banning jihad, struggle in the religion, both from the inward way and the outer way, then Allah will allow to come upon you humiliation and degradation upon the ummah of Islam, hatta tarju illa dinakum. And this is the solution found in the same hadith. The causes are mentioned, and the saving part is mentioned here, is that we return to our religion. So the four things mentioned in this hadith is that you be content with holding cow's tails, meaning you can be content with your wealth and your livestock, and you get involved in riba transaction, and that you are content with agriculture, land, and above all you abandon jihad. These are the four causes of this degradation. Allah will not leave this from you until hatta, and this narration can be interpreted two ways in English, until, or in other words, the word hatta also can be translated as unless. Until or unless, or until and unless you return to your religion. So verily, this is the solution, that we return to the deen that was practiced by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the religion that was inculcated through the Sahaba and the Salaf al-Saliheen, and then Allah will remove this as we find ourselves in the situation, not through the overthrow of rulers or to make disbelief among each other, including the rulers, but through returning to the religion as authentically practiced by the Salaf al-Saliheen.
Jazakumullah khairan. هنالك منهج آخر إما أن يكون هو أصلا لهذا المنهج التكفيري الثوري وإما أن يكون هو فرعا عنه ونتيجة له وقد يكون في حين من الأحيان كذلك وفي حين آخر على الصورة الأخرى وهو المنهج السياسي وقبل أن نذكر عن هذا المنهج السياسي نذكر أمرا مهما وهو أننا نعني بالمنهج السياسي ها هنا المنهج الذي يتخذ من وسائل الإعلام بحيث حجب الناس عن العلم والعلماء بل عن الكتاب والسنة نطلب من فضيلة الشيخ أبي حاتم وفقه الله أن يذكر جانبا من الجوانب السلبية المتكاثرة التي أوقع بها هذا المنهج أهله ومستمعيه والمجتمعين عليه في شباكه وفي انحرافه فليتفضل.
Another methodology that is now being propagated and is found in many places throughout the Islamic world and other It is a manhaj that could be a branch from the branches of the manhaj of the takfir, those who call to the disbelief of rulers or their subjects. Or it could in fact be its root, something that it stems from, or something that it grew out of. It is the political manhaj. And when we say political manhaj, those who make politics a manhaj, a religious way, we are not implying the religious politics. We are not talking about politics in the Islamic context. We are in fact speaking about those who are media hounds, those who are watching all of the different Reuters, CNN and things like this, taking out current affairs or things that are happening throughout the world and making religious rulings based on these happenings. This is who we are discussing. As for religious politics, this is part of taking care of the ummah. It is the responsibility of the rulers in the ummah. It is something that is found in our Islamic laws and that is built on the Quran and the Sunnah that leaves no room for al-qil wal-qal. He said, and this is what he replied, and this is what the reports have come in as being. It is something that is verified, known as truth without a doubt, established from the books of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad ﷺ, and religious rulings are built from them in dealing with the political situation that may be in throughout the community. So therefore, when we are discussing this manhaj al-siyasi, this political agenda, and we are discussing the media hounds, those who are looking at different news reports and trying to extract religious rulings from what they see as happening in a place far away from where they are living. And this is something that has blocked yet again many people from the path of truth, the path, the true manhaj, because they use the emotional attachments and they call on emotions in a way of bringing people towards a religious ruling that is founded from these media reports, not from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we will listen to a Sheikh, Usama al-Qusi, who will give us some of the drawbacks that are found in this manhaj.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, ma ba'du. فالمنهج السياسي منتشر أيضا في جميع أنحاء المعمورة تقريبا، وهو متمثل في دعوات شتى وفرق وأحزاب شتى، ولكن أم الجماعات التي تتبنى هذا المنهج في زماننا قد أسسها حسن البنا رحمه الله تعالى وتجاوز عنا وعنه، فنحن ليس بيننا وبين الأشخاص عداوة شخصية، ولكننا نتكلم عن دين وعن مناهج. لا يجوز أن نجامل أحدا في هذا الباب، فإنه من حكم الشارع الحكيم ما ذكره في قوله سبحانه وتعالى: وكذلك نفصل الآيات ولتستبين سبيل المجرمين. فكما لا يستبين طريق الإسلام إلا باستبانة طرق الكفر، فلا يستبين طريق السلف إلا باستبانة طرق البدع والضلال والأهواء. هذا المنهج السياسي من أهم مظاهره الآن التهييج والإثارة، وإن لم يصل إلى حد التكفير. وكما ربطنا المنهج التكفيري بأصوله القديمة، نربط هذا المنهج بأصوله القديمة. فأصل هذا المنهج قديما هو المعتزلة، فرقة المعتزلة. فأصل المنهج التكفيري فرقة الخوارج، وأصل المنهج السياسي فرقة المعتزلة. وكانوا في الأصل يلتفون حول أهل العلم بالبصرة، ثم فجأة اعتزلوا العلماء. ودائما بداية الشر البعد عن العلم وأهله، فابتعد هؤلاء عن العلماء حتى قال بعض أهل العلم فيهم: اعتزلنا فلان وفلان. ومن هنا وصفوا بالمعتزلة، لأنهم بدأوا يسلكون منهجا آخر غير منهج أهل العلم، وبدأوا يهتمون بما وصفوه هم بأنه الجهاد أو الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر، يقصدون به الإثارة والتهييج على الحكام وولاة الأمور. فالجهاد عندهم هو القيام على الأنظمة الحاكمة، الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر هو الإثارة والتشهير بولاة الأمور الذين وقع منهم ما يخالف الشرع، وهذا يخالف منهج السلف. فمنهج السلف النصيحة، كما قال نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدين النصيحة. قلنا لمن يا رسول الله؟ كما قال الصحابة، قال: لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم. فمنهج السلف النصح، الإصلاح، حب الخير للناس كما تحب لنفسك. أما هؤلاء المهيجون المثيرون للفتن، حتى وإن لم يصلوا إلى مرتبة التكفير أو إلى بدعة الخوارج، فإنهم لا يناصحون ولاة الأمور بل يقومون عليهم ويهيجون العامة عليهم ويثيرون الفتن بينهم. ولا شك أن هذا يخالف طريقة سلفنا الصالح، يخالف طريقة الصحابة والتابعين. قيل لأسامة بن زيد: ألا تنصح إلى عثمان؟ قال: ألا أنصحه إلا أن أسمعكم؟ أنا أنصحه فيما بيني وبينه. طريقة السلف هي المناصحة، أما طريقة هؤلاء فهي المنازعة. المناصحة طريقة السلف، المنازعة طريقة المعتزلة، طريقة المهيجين المثيرين للفتن. ثم ننتقل من أصل هذا المنهج إلى مظاهره العصرية. أقول إنهم تأثروا بأعداء الإسلام فأدخلوا في الإسلام ما ليس من الإسلام، تأثروا بطريقة الاشتراكيين الشرقيين وبطريقة الديمقراطيين الغربيين، أخذوا من الاشتراكيين المظاهرات والإضرابات، أخذوا أمورا ليست من الإسلام وأدخلوها في الإسلام باسم الإسلام، فجاءوا بمظاهرات الشيوعيين وإضرابات الشيوعيين وجعلوها إسلامية، وفي المقابل أخذوا ديمقراطية الغرب التي تبيح لكل إنسان أن يقول ما يشاء وأدخلوها في الإسلام، وزعموا أنهم يتكلمون بالحق وأنهم يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. وفي الحقيقة يجمع الفكرين أو المنهجين التكفيري والسياسي أنهم يطلبون شيئا من حظوظ النفس. وصدق والله أخونا عبد المالك رمضاني حفظه الله تعالى في كتابه 6 درر من أصول أهل الأثر لما قال: إن التوحيد حق محض لله عز وجل، فمن تكلم في التوحيد يؤذى في سبيل الله ولا حظ للنفس في هذا. أما مسألة الحكم أو مسألة الحاكمية كما يحلو لهم أن يسموها، أو مسألة منازعة ولاة الأمور، ففيها حق لله وفيها حق للنفس. فالحاكمية لله حق لله، وأما منازعة الأمر أهله فهذه فيها حظ للنفس. فكون هؤلاء لا يهتمون بحق الله المحض وهو التوحيد، ثم هم يضخمون المسألة الأخرى ويهملون الأولى تماما، يدل على أن للنفس في هذه المسألة حظا واضحا جليا. فلهذا أقول إن المسألة قائمة على الهوى، فليس كل هذا من الإسلام، ليست المظاهرات من الإسلام ولا الإضرابات من الإسلام سواء كان إضرابا عن العمل، ليس الامتناء عن الطعام وتجويع النفس من الإسلام، ليست هذه وسائل شرعية. كذلك هذه الطرق التي يسمونها بالديمقراطية، كل واحد يقول ما يشاء، فهذا ليس من الإسلام. لا ينبغي أن نأخذ من أعداء الإسلام وسائلهم ثم ننسبها إلى الإسلام، والله تعالى أعلى وأحلى.
جزاك الله خيرا.
The Sheikh began by saying بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. He discussed with us the political agenda or the political manhaj by saying it is something clear that throughout the world this is something that has taken shape and form throughout the many countries and throughout the many regions, irrelevant of the
jama'ah or the group or the type of people, what they call to. Doesn't really matter what they call to. Most groups, most types of people have fallen into this hoopla of political activism and political, the political manhaj, which we told you it is in regards to being in tune with what is happening in the media and taking these reports and building religious arguments from them. Let us look once again to the history of how this developed. As we looked into the history of how the takfir manhaj developed, let us look into how the political path developed. In our contemporary times, a few years ago, it was rejuvenated again by a man named Hassan al-Banna, rahimahullah, as the Shaykh said, Allah have mercy on him, and forgive him and us for any of the mistakes he or we have made. And he says, when we discuss people, we do not discuss them individually. What we are discussing is deen, is the religion. We are discussing the points of Islam, not the individual himself. What he has done is with him and Allah. We discuss the issues that tend to deal with religion and Islamic knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, know who the people, the mujrimeen are, meaning that if you know who the criminals and who the deviants are, you will know their opposition as being the people of tawheed, the people of good. So therefore, this is why we learn and look at these groups to see what the mistakes are so that we do not fall into them. Therefore, let us look and see how this manhaj came about and developed. In the past, during the early stages of Islam, a group known as Al-Mu'tazila came about in the city of Basra. The Mu'tazila are the founding fathers, you would say, of the political madhab, or the political manhaj. They were a group of people who used to sit with the scholars, used to attend the classes of the ulama in Basra. But then they began to abandon the scholars and sit by themselves. And therefore they were given this name, Mu'tazila. They removed themselves, therefore they became i'tazalu. They removed themselves from all the scholars, so they became their own group. This is what the word means. It came to the point that the scholars would mention in their class, this person, i'tazalana, has abandoned us and has left us and has sat by himself. Meaning they isolated themselves from the scholars of al-Islam. Therefore they let free reign their own thoughts, their own opinions, their own whims, to take over what they interpreted religious texts as being. How did they evolve their methodology? They began, after abandoning the scholars, they began to focus on the rulers and calling to jihad. And when they called to jihad, the jihad that they intended was to make what they called Amru bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, ordering what's good and prohibiting what is evil, by pointing out the faults of the rulers. This is how they understood it. To make order of good and forbid evil, all I have to do is show the discrepancies and the mistakes of such and such a person, just blame, show the mistakes that they have fallen into. And use it in an emotional context to cause people to revolt against them. So this is their methodology. This is how they approach it. Show the mistakes, use emotional tendencies, and cause people to become emotionally charged to go out against a specific person or a group. And therefore when we hear the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordering us to have nasiha, to give nasiha lillah, to give it for Allah, for His Messenger, for the Muslims and for the leader of the Muslims, the nasiha, it is something that isn't done publicly, generally. It is supposed to be something between the individual and the person he is giving nasiha to. And this is in direct opposition to the manhaj of the Mu'tazila, who take and make public all the mistakes of whoever they are in opposition with, calling to revolution and overthrowing of them. And they attempted this from the people came, this can be seen when people came to Usama ibn Zayd. They told him, why don't you give nasiha to Uthman? Meaning, why don't you give him nasiha in front of us? He told them, as for nasiha, it will be given and it has been given, but it is not done in front of you. Nasiha, and this is the way of the salaf, the nasiha, the sincere advice, is something that is done in private, individually. It is not a shared action. As for the Mu'tazila, they are in direct opposition and in conflict with this. It is what they wish to do in front of everyone to make a name for themselves. And this is taken from two things, communism and democracy. They took the path of the communists in following their riots and holding demonstrations and holding hunger strikes and things of this sort. And they followed democracy by saying, we have free speech, free will, and since I can say something, it is right. This is how they entered into their mistake, by thinking because they have the ability to say something, I am free to say it. That means it is automatically right. So therefore they fell into this sin. And the Sheikh says, may Allah bless our colleague, Abdul Malik Ramadani, where he says in his book, Tawheed of Allah is Allah's haqq only to Him. Tawheed, sincere tawheed. When it's practiced, it is only sincerely for Allah. As for those who make rulings against rulers or individuals or people, they do it with Allah in their hearts, but also to appease themselves. It's something out of arrogance. It is something out of necessity for themselves. So yes, they may say something for Allah, but it is also as a way of healing, of wanting to complete something in themselves, out of their own whims and desires. Therefore, it is not a part of having complete sincerity and tawheed to Allah. Therefore the Sheikh summarizes and says, when you see demonstrations and you see strikes, whether it's for work or from masjid, from things like this, all of these strikes and this political agendas or hunger strikes, these are all things that are taken from the communism. And they entered it into this political agenda that you see in many different groups. And when you see people speaking freely, without being concerned of what they're saying, thinking that because they can say it, it is automatically right, and it's their divine, free, given choice, that they can say whatever they wish, this is taken once again from democracy, and they try to enter these two man-made laws or man-made ways, democracy and communism, and pass them off as Islam. Following the madhhab and the path of the Mu'tazila, who have come from before, who were instituted in Al-Basra. So these are some of the warnings that the Shaykh has given us. Hafizahullah.
Jazakallahu khayran. هنالك أسلوب جديد أو طريقة حادثة استخدمها أهل المنهج السياسي في التأثير على الناس واستغلال عواطفهم، وهي التعلق بما سموه فقه الواقع. فنرجو من فضيلة الشيخ سليم الهلالي إلقاء شيء من الضوء على هذا المسلك الحادث و ذكر شيء من آثاره على الأمة وعلى الدين. فليتفضل.
And alhamdulillah, and the last section of today's first workshop on the issues of deviant methodologies and related to takfir, and now discussing the root or the byproduct of that issue related to the issues of politics in Muslims' affairs or otherwise, is the issue of the status and the ruling of knowledge of current affairs, fiqh waqi'ah. And how does that relate to the Muslims today? By drawing back upon that root which is found in the Salaf. And therefore we shall see how today's issue, which is a current one, can be better dealt with, and how we can avoid the issues of takfir and politics and the harmful effects upon the people in general, and particularly among the Muslims specifically. And our brother in Islam, Abu Usama Salim Halali, Hafizullah, will comment on this and give us some short guidance as we end today's first workshop, inshallah ta'ala. At 2 o'clock, inshallah, just everybody know that Salatul Dhuhr will be held
in the gymnasium at 2 o'clock, inshallah ta'ala.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. فكما سمعتم فإن دعاة المنهج السياسي لهم طرائق ولهم أساليب متنوعة في هذا المنهج، وهذه الظروف كلها تؤدي إلى الانشغال بغير العلم الشرعي، لأن السياسة هي لب الدين إذا أردنا بها سياسة شرعية، رعاية الأمة والقيام على مصالحها وتوجيهها وتربيتها، فهذه مهمة الإسلام. وما أنزل الإسلام إلا ليرعى الأمة وينشئ أمة ربانية. لكن دعاة هذا المنهج السياسي، أي السياسة العصرانية أو سياسة النفاق، انشغلوا بما يسمونه فقه الواقع. والمراد بفقه الواقع هو معرفة ما يخطط أعداء المسلمين للمسلمين، واستشراف المستقبل، واستظهار الغيب، والتنبؤ بما يدور في أجهزة أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى. وذلك عبر أولا مذكرات السياسيين العصرانيين، الاستماع إلى الإذاعات الغربية، متابعة الجرائد والمجلات اليومية، ثم من خلال هذه العملية يخرجون على المسلمين بآراء ونتائج وتحليلات يسمونها فقه الواقع. مفاسد هذا الأمر: أولا أنه تسمية وقلب للمفاهيم، فإن معرفة الواقع، واقع الناس، واقع المسلمين، واقع الأحكام الشرعية، هذا من أهم الواجبات على العلماء. وكما يقول العلماء: الحكم على الشيء فرع من تصوره. فلا يستطيع الفقيه أو المجتهد أو العالم أن يحكم على قضية إلا إذا تصورها وعرف واقعها. لكنهم هم نقلوا معرفة الفقيه لواقع المسألة الشرعية الذي يفتي فيها إلى معرفة ما يخطط أعداء الله للمسلمين، وذلك بالانشغال في هذه الأمور. ومعلوم أن أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى لا يمكن أن ينشروا مخططاتهم وينشروا ما يمكرون للمسلمين على الملأ، لأنهم لو فعلوا ذلك يكونوا قد أفسدوا ما بيتوا. بل إن أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى لا يجوز الثقة بهم أصلا، فإذا كان المسلم الفاسق لا يجوز الاعتداد بخبره، فما بالك بالكافر الفاجر يجوز بناء أحكام وأقوال وتصورات وتهيئات على أقواله وأعماله التي يهيئ للمسلمين أنه يريد بهم. فهذا والله انتكاس في التصور وانتكاس في الفهم. ثم هؤلاء جعلوا معرفتهم بواقع الناس كما يزعمون سبيلا إلى استغلال واقع المسلمين، فتراهم إذا وقعت مصيبة بالمسلمين صاحوا وصرخوا: نريد الإغاثة للشيشان، نريد الإغاثة للكسوف، نريد الإغاثة للكشمير، نريد، وهم في الحقيقة لا يستخدمون هذه الأموال التي يجمعونها إلا في أنشطتهم الحزبية. ولقد كتب أحدهم في كتاب له يسمى الإخوان المسلمون أحداث صنع للتاريخ، يقول ما ملخص كلامه: إن قضية فلسطين كانت سببا في التمكين لجماعة الإخوان المسلمين، أنهم كانوا يجمعون الأموال. باسم قضية فلسطين ثم يعمدون إلى نشر المنشورات بها وإلى استخدامها في أسالهم الحزبية وأنشطتهم الحزبية. وهكذا تجد أنهم يريدون بهذا الواقع استغلال هذا الواقع لمصالحهم ولأهدافهم الحزبية وليس لنصر المسلمين وإزالة الظلم عن المسلمين. وهذا الكاتب هو رجل منهم أي عاش معهم، اسمه محمود عبد الحليم، في كتاب له اسمه الإخوان المسلمين أحداث صنع التاريخ.
جزاك الله خيرا.
جزاك الله خيرا يا أبي حسام. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Related to the politics and the effect upon the people was neatly discussed by the previous speaker, Osama Khusi, and related to the history and how it's deleterious, that is, its harmful effects, not only upon the state of Muslims, but the general society at large, and how we should include knowledge of the current affairs as being, according to their statements, as being the principal ways of not only interpreting our religion and our affairs, but dictating the very way that we conduct our life. So this issue cannot be ignored, because very indeed knowledge of current affairs is indeed an important part of the knowledge that affects Muslim ruling. But no doubt that this knowledge of current affairs must be based upon the Quran and Sunnah, and not based on the hypocritical or disbelieving politics that have been hypocrites of munafiqun, that is, those people who claim to be Muslim that really are basing all their interpretations on other than Islam, which only end up harming the people. So the idea of what fiqh wahiyah means in terms of definition means knowledge of the issues, according to what the correct understanding is in relationship with Muslims should know, is that it's the knowledge of the issues that benefit, also that may harm the Muslims, is in activities that either are currently in effect upon the Muslims that have already occurred, or those that may occur in the future, by looking at the warning signs and how to prevent them. And this is a necessary state of survival. So this is simply put what the word current affairs means according to the Sharia. However, this is not left in the hands of the average individual. What is upon the scholars when making any hukum, any judgment, initially stemming from the Quran and Sunnah and interpretation of the Salaf, it must, without doubt, necessarily include the understanding of the current affairs to make a rounded and complete decision and judgment. So there's no doubt that this is indeed a part, an element of all judgments by the scholars, knowing the affairs either individually or in the common atmosphere and environment of which the ruling is made, going again according to the Quran and Sunnah. Many books, articles have been written by individuals who specialize in this field, but they are fasiq, they are disobedient, they are going against the ways of the Quran and Sunnah, and the original ruling on receiving any information from these individuals generally is that you're not allowed to receive news from a fasiq. You're not allowed to take the news or narrations from those who are disobedient. That is, in a very elemental way, the principle at hand here. So therefore, we don't go to those books, don't go to those articles, because they're verily not based upon the standard, that is, the way that should be understood to the understanding of the issues through ilm. And the ilm here means the Quran and the Sunnah as was interpreted by the Salaf al-Salihin, not based on just current affairs or ideology or opinions or people's desires. One issue we mentioned at the end here is an issue made by one of the proponents of by the Ikhwan Muslimun. His name is Mahmoud ibn Abdul Halim. And he mentioned just the relationship to the situation in Palestine by simply stating that the success and the liberation of the people of Palestine can only be done through the collecting of wealth together through the struggle of the people to flow through independence of that area. And not through the help of Allah, through the help of the people of the other Muslim world, but verily individual salvation through independence in a nationalistic way. And through that, Islam will then occur itself. This is something foreign to Islam, based on nation-state, based on individual or tribal or individual salvation. This is not the way of Islam, And this is one example when one uses their opinions or interpreting, as Brother Osama Qusi earlier mentioned, interpreting and using introduced ideas, imported ideas through democracy or communism into the way of Islam. We at the end here basically saying we should be attentive to individuals like this and groups like that and others similar to them to avoid falling into the fallacy and above all the harm that results from following these ignorant and deviant methodologies.
جزاكم الله خيرا. هنالك منهج أيضا من المناهج المعاصرة بدأ أخيرا يسري بين الناس لأنه يتخذ من التساهل طريقا له يشق طريقه به بين العامة على الخصوص وهو المنهج العقلاني أو العصراني. نرجو من فضيلة الشيخ أبي حاتم إلقاء جانب من الضوء عليه في دقائق معدودة لأن الوقت أدركنا. فليتفضل وجزاكم الله خير.
بسم الله. هذا المنهج العقلاني العصراني أيضا نربطه بأصوله فأصوله أيضا معتزلية، وبدأت هذه الفكرة الشيطانية أيضا باحتقار العلم وأهله واعتزالهم والزعم أن علمهم إنما هو قاصر على فقه الحيض والنفاس والصلاة والعبادات والشعائر، أما هم فزعموا أنهم يريدون شمولية الإسلام، هكذا زعموا. ومن هنا انطلقوا وتركوا لعقولهم المجال وأطلقوا لها العنان كما يقال، وأصبح كل واحد منهم يضع قواعد زعم أنها عقلية وليس من العقل في شيء بل لا يعقلون، وأصولهم الحقيقية ليست من الإسلام بل هي من الفلاسفة والدهريين. ثم بعد ذلك أخذ عنهم هؤلاء قواعدهم وهم المعتزلة، ثم تأثر بهم قوم وهم الأشاعرة والماتريدية. كل هؤلاء يقدمون العقل على النقل وإن تفاوتوا في درجات ذلك، وجاء هؤلاء المعاصرون وزعموا أنهم عندهم من الفقه ما ليس عند غيرهم وأنهم أصحاب الفهم السديد، ووافقوا أهواء المتساهلين من المسلمين الذين خلطوا بين يسر الدين والتفريط في الدين، فيسر الدين هو الدين، وأما التفريط في الدين فإنه أمر نهى عنه سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. فالدين بحاله يسر، دين الله كما جاء من عند الله يسر، واليسر واليسر وسط بين الإفراط والتفريط. فوصلوا إلى حال رد الأدلة الشرعية من السنة بزعم أنها أحاديث ظنية الثبوت، وأن العقل الذي هو عندهم العقل الذي يفهم الأمور من خلال ما يسمونه هم بالعقليات أن هذا هو اليقين، فيقولون إن الظن إذا تعارض مع اليقين نقدم اليقين، فيقدمون قواعدهم العقلية ويقدمون ما يفهمونه بهذه القواعد من كتاب الله على الأحاديث الصحيحة، وإن كانت في صحيح البخاري وإن كانت في صحيح مسلم. وقد تبنى هذا في عصرنا أناس وعلى رأس هؤلاء رجل قد مات، نسأل الله أن يتجاوز عنا وعنه، وهو محمد الغزالي، ولكنه أساء أيما إساءة وخاصة في كتابه السنة النبوية بين أهل الفقه وأهل الحديث. وحق هذا الكتاب أن يسمى السنة النبوية بين أهل الرأي وأهل الحديث، فأهل الحديث هم أهل الفقه وأهل الفقه هم أهل الحديث، أما أهل الرأي فيقدمون عقلياتهم على كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم تبعه على منهجه الدكتور يوسف القرضاوي، فإنه أيضا سار على منهج محمد الغزالي الذي تبع فيه المعتزلة الأقدمين، بل غلبهم وفاقهم عندما قدم أمورا تخالف إجماع المسلمين أجمعين حتى من كان منهم من المعتزلة، تخالف الإجماع كله بزعم أن هذا هو اليسر وأن هذا هو الفقه وأن هذا وأن هذا، حتى زعم أن دية الكافر
لا بد أن تكون كدية المسلم، وأن كون دية الكافر على النصف من دية المسلم أن هذه سوءة فكرية، وهذا كلام لا ينبغي أن يقال، هذا كلام لا ينبغي أن يقال، بل هذا يخالف إجماع المسلمين. وهكذا يأتي مثلا لحديث نبينا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عن الغزالي الذي يقول فيه: لن يفلح قوم ولو أمرهم امرأة، فيقول: قد أفلحت مارغريت تاتشر وقد أفلحت أندرا غاندي. وهذا والله يشبه تلك الحكاية أو الطرفة التي يقولونها أن رجلا قيل له إن إخراج الريح ينقض الوضوء ولا تصح الصلاة إذا انتقض الوضوء، قال: والله قد فعلته الليلة الماضية وقد نفع. فهذا يقال له: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لن يفلح قوم ولو أمرهم امرأة. فيأتي ويقول: قد أفلح الإنجليز وولوا مارغريت تاتشر، وقد أفلح الهنود وولوا أندرا غاندي. هكذا يحتج بنظرته هو وحكمه على الواقع أن هذا فلاح، والله هذا ليس بفلاح. فالشاهد بارك الله فيكم أن هؤلاء الناس يوافقون أهواء العوام، ويحاولون أن يجاروا هؤلاء العوام على رغباتهم وشهواتهم. فاحذروا كل الحذر من هذا المنهج العقلاني الذي هو ليس من العقل في شيء، وإن زعموا أنه عقلاني العصراني. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبصر المسلمين بهذه المواضع الخطيرة، وأن يجنبهم الوقوع في هذه المزالق، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلى.
جزاك الله خيرا.
The manhaj that was discussed by Sheikh Osama Al-Qusi is the manhaj of those who put forth their logical reasoning and analytical, so-called analytical skills in front of the textual evidence that is authentically reported in the Quran and the Sunnah. They are founded in the Mu'tazili school of thought, and in the past, this is where their roots are, as we have discussed the roots of the others. For example, these people of the Mu'tazila, they used to say, the scholars of Al-Islam, they are the ones to deal with issues of menses, issues of prayer, hajj, these things, you deal with them. As for the things in regards to public life and everyday life, we will use our logical reasoning to verify what is the best course of action. And they took their logical reasoning from philosophy, from the philosophical books that were being translated from Greek into the Arabic language, and based much of their thoughts on it. And what's important to note, that reasoning changes from one generation to another. What may have been logical 50 years ago is not logical today. And what is logical today will not be what is logical later on, or what was logical in the past. So this is something important to note, that reasoning and logic changes as time passes. And they claim that they are trying to make their religion easy for the Muslim. What is easy is what was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By you making it logically, by you saying, well, this is more logical, thinking that this is what is easier, this is in fact a fallacy and not of any importance or proof. For example, they have a statement where they say, we will use certainty over the unknown. Meaning that even if the unknown is a hadith in Bukhari or a verse in the Quran, something from the unseen, they will disagree with it because it's something they do not see or feel, putting forth their intellect over the textual evidence that may be found. This can be found in the example that were given, two examples. One of them, the person, Muhammad al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, who passed away, may Allah forgive him for his sins and errors. He fell into many of these great mistakes from the blunders that he made in one of his books. He says, the Prophet ﷺ, and the hadith is sahih, the Prophet ﷺ said, no people will be successful if they have as their leader a woman. This is a hadith that is authentic. He says, well, how come we see that the Brits were successful when they were under Thatcher? How come the Indians were successful when they were under Indira Gandhi? Using his own type of understanding of what success is over the understanding of the Messenger Muhammad ﷺ. Another example can be that of Yusuf al-Qaradawi, the Doctorio al-Qaradawi, where, for example, he went against all of the ijma' of the scholars, past and present, in order to appease certain groups of people. For example, one of his fatwas, he states that the blood money of a Muslim must be equal to the blood money of a kafir, although we see this is against the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad and the ijma' of the scholars. It is a totally different ruling, and he went against the ijma'. He said this is what is closer to justice and so forth. So these are things, when we understand logic, are important, but we do not put it forth in front of the textual evidence that is in the Quran and in the Sunnah. We do not appease people on account of Allah or His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for that is an evil path and an evil destination that will follow.
Jazakumullah khairan. This so concludes our first portion of the Nadwa, of our workshop, and we'll proceed slowly downstairs to the gymnasium for our Salat al-Duhur.